Hi, this is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours. I want to welcome you to another podcast, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It's a weekly podcast, and if you've been following EMS Office Hours, you might have noticed that I'm kind of going to be getting away from doing the live shows, and I'm going to be making these pre-recorded sessions, hopefully with some guest speakers as well, on some important EMS topics and suggestions that I get from you, the listeners. And the reason why I'm doing this primarily is because I'm trying to get away from having the podcast on three or four different websites and venues that seem to be confusing some of the listeners where they can get the best access to the podcast and be able to participate in what's being said and what's going on inside the podcast. So we're going to be putting all the audios now over at emsofficehours.com. And we're still going to be using the live format probably once a month or maybe once every other month. But those are going to be targeting really specific topics that I feel active participation from the listeners is going to be beneficial the most. So keep an eye out for those announcements when those live podcasts come out. And be sure to go ahead and participate in those podcasts. As a side note, you know, of course, we're still going to be doing our little giveaways here at EMS Office Hours, where if you comment on a post, on something that you've heard, you know, within the podcast, we're going to be randomly selecting some winners at the end of the month, and you'll be getting things like some educational resources, maybe some physical giveaways, some little knickknacks, pins, buttons, patches, all that type of stuff, and we'll be selecting a winner and posting those winners over on the EMS Office Hours blog as well. So just keep an eye out for that, and stay with me, and I think you're going to find the content a little more controlled, a little more pinpoint, and possibly these podcasts might be a little bit shorter because we're going to be really focusing in on the topics that we're speaking about. In addition, of course, don't forget about EMS Bootcamp. We don't have a live session for December, but of course, I urge you to check out the archives at EMS Bootcamp. You know, we've got over 24 hours of content there, everything from exam preparation help and medical mathematic help to shock, cardiology assessment, and even pediatrics and OBGYN. So I urge you to go check that out. With over 24 hours, I know there's got to be something there for you to be able to take advantage of inside EMS Bootcamp. I want to go ahead and, you know, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. And, of course, you know, happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners, whoever's listening in time for Thanksgiving. Honestly, I hate turkey. You know, it's one of those holidays where I just kind of go through the motion with the food. I enjoy eating, but turkey is not my favorite type of food. I like it. I prefer turkey sliced up on a sandwich with some lettuce, tomato, and some maybe some Swiss cheese. That's the way I prefer to have my turkey. But I'll go ahead and, you know, we're all going to go ahead and do that. And a lot of people seem to have that same thing, too. A lot of people aren't big turkey fans. But, you know, Thanksgiving, it is all about the turkey and the stuffing and everything. So, you know, enjoy yourself on Thanksgiving. Those of you who unfortunately have to work on Thanksgiving, of course, I want to thank you personally for, you know, being the person that's going to be out there and providing the emergency services to your community and to your region. You know, EMS is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week service. We don't always get to have off every holiday, and a lot of times a lot of us have to work on holidays. I've done it. I'm sure if you aren't doing it this Thursday, you'll be doing it, you know, in other holidays to follow. So, you know, again, if you're working this Thanksgiving, you know, thank you for, you know, going ahead and committing yourself, being committed to the profession, being committed to your job, and working Thanksgiving and providing emergency services to your community. Of course, you know, stay safe while you're doing it because you got a lot more traffic on the road and a lot more people in, you know, more condensed areas. So just stay safe out there while you're working this Thanksgiving. I do want to mention, of course, a product that during this podcast. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. It's the Oxygen Wrench. It's called the Wantanu Oxygen Wrench. It's at wantanu.com. It's WANTYNU.com. I had the link below the podcast here. But I want to post and mention this again because the owner of the site, he actually just got done releasing a new version of the wrench. It's called the TK3. It's sort of an updated version on what he already had going on there. And, You know, this new version is comes with things like a bottle opener. It's got a window punch in it as well. And some really, you know, if you take a look at the website, you'll see the actual design of that wrench. You know, it's got a bigger hole to fit any type of keychain to it, whether it's your own personal keychain or maybe your agency wants to attach it to the oxygen regulator. You know, this really winds up being the ultimate oxygen wrench, you know, for you to use in a lot of different environments. So I urge you to go ahead and take a look at that and consider purchasing this wrench. I've been using the products from this gentleman for quite a while now, and I'm telling you, it is above bar. The only wrench, pretty much, this is his thing on his website too, about the only wrench you're ever going to have to own, and it really is true that it really will be the only oxygen wrench you're ever going to have to own. The new wrench is actually only a little over 3 inches. It only weighs about 1 ounce, which is pretty cool, pretty light. And it comes in 5 colors, black, blue, red, yellow, and he even has it in pink. If you're, you know, a female EMS provider, you like the color pink, jump on that. It's a great, you know, great, unique type of a color. He also has it in chrome as well. If you like that flashy type chrome look, he's got it in a chrome edition as well. So go check that stuff out. It's over at wantnu.com. It's WANTYNU.com. The link is right below the podcast. And check that out. It's $10, which some people might feel a little pricey. But let me tell you something. It's a type of $10 you're going to spend once, not going to have to spend it again, because it's not going to break, bend, chip, or, you know, crack like any other wrench that you're going to find yourself using out there in the field. So go take advantage of that. It makes a great key ring holder too when you go to work. So it's kind of universal. You can do a lot of different little things. So go check it out. Again, wantnu.com. All right. Let's get into some other topics tonight. There's something I read in the forum, and I wanted to bring this up. It's an older post in the forum, but it kind of talks about dealing with situations and partners that you might not want to have to deal with, or you might get in a position of not wanting to deal with. Now, in this case, this is kind of a young paramedic who was working at an agency, and I'm not going to read this verbatim because it is a little bit long, but pretty much he was working with a partner. It was an early morning call for cardiac arrest that was CPR in progress by nursing staff at a nursing home, and he responds to this call. And on the way there, this partner says to him, you know, it's too early for CPR, and they were too tired, so they're going to just go ahead and confirm the arrest and make it a DOA when they get on scene. Now, he just kind of laughed it off, thinking that, you know, the person's just whining, you know, they're tired or whatever, and just kind of laughed off that comment. But he gets on scene, and, you know, nursing homes, they're doing CPR, not the best CPR, but they're doing their best and making a valiant effort in trying to revive the patient, you know, and he goes and gets the intubation equipment ready for the patient. The partner takes the monitor. You know, they get into the room, and he gets ready to go ahead and intubate. And pretty much, she tells him to just hang on a second, and starts asking questions like the last time that anybody saw the person alive. Is there a DNR? Do they have an actual downtime going on? And it's kind of confused him. You know, he's thinking, well, you know, they're telling them it's like about a 10-11 minute downtime. You know, he's not quite sure what was happening. So yeah, instead of just doing all, you know, doing things that she's supposed to do, like putting the monitor on the patient, she starts asking all these questions, and that kind of confused him. Like, how are you going to ask all these other different types of questions without even getting the monitor on the patient? See, maybe they're in V-fib or they're in V-tach. It's a workable rhythm. But instead, she kind of delays. He went to go put the monitor on himself, tells him, wait a second, don't put the monitor on. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Pretty much takes their sweet time getting the pads out, lollygagging around, putting the pads on the patient. Finally, when they get the monitor turned on, of course, it's asystole because there's been no CPR going on for a few minutes, you know, for a minute or two now. They took their time getting the pads on. The patient is in asystole. So what do? Gets on the radio, calls the communication, gets a pronouncement time from their doc or their communication system there. Now, you know, he kind of felt that the person might have had a chance. Yeah, it's a nursing home patient, but it was a witness arrest. CPR was started immediately. It was only a short downtime of about maybe 10-11 minutes. You know, he was thinking doing CPR, getting the epi, the intubation, atropine, thinking about, you know, H's and T's, you know, even pacing, and trying to transport, you know, and he's thinking that all his partner was thinking about was getting back to bed. So What would you do in this situation? You know, I wasn't there. I hate playing Monday morning quarterback on calls, and it happens a lot in the field where a lot of you hear a call that's going on, and you kind of start playing Monday morning quarterback. But, you know, just by going what is being written said about this call, I can't help to think that maybe his partner really should have went ahead and worked his patient up. You know, if I was there, I probably would have wanted to work the patient up, especially since you've got so many witnesses around, there's so much stuff going on. You know, the patient seems to have just expired, CPR was started immediately, and you know, you want to kind of give these patients the benefit of the doubt. You shouldn't be playing God and deciding that you should or should not do CPR on a patient because you're tired or you're sleepy. Now, this other paramedic seems to be the type that's maybe burnt out, just looking for a paycheck, wanting to get off on time, and we all do. Everybody wants to get off on time. We all want to try to collect our paycheck, but there comes a time where you have to weigh the, you know, what you're there for, which is patient care and emergency services, not necessarily getting off on time. You know, if you think about it, most of us do get off on time on a regular basis, but occasionally we get those calls and we get those shifts where it's very busy and we don't get to get off on time. That's the nature of the beast, right? That's what we're here for. That's what EMS is about. Now, in this case, I don't know. I think I probably, since I had nursing home staff there with me, I probably would have enlisted their help to continue CPR. I would have went ahead and intubated the patient and insisted to my partner to go ahead and call a supervisor to the scene, since we weren't in agreement on the patient care you know, modality and our treatment plan for the patient. And if they refused, then I would just go ahead and intubate the patient, let them keep doing CPR, and then you know, probably get on the radio myself and ask for a supervisor to respond to the scene. Now, of course, you're gonna have a lot of flack from that. That, you know, your partner is gonna wind up arguing with you probably after the call, maybe weeks after the call, maybe turning around trying to badmouth you to other coworkers, especially if you're new. But you know, you gotta keep in mind, if you're new, and if even if you're not new, something like this goes on, and if you want to do the right thing for a patient, and you want to do what's right overall, and your partner does not, what winds up happening is, if you're both paramedics, you wind up both being equally responsible for what happened to this patient. So if you don't act, if you don't go ahead and do what's appropriate, okay, that another paramedic or another provider would do in the same situation, you can be held accountable for that, right? So you want to go ahead and do what's right for the patient. That entails doing your treatment protocols, doing what you're supposed to be doing, what medical control wants you to do. You know, keep in mind too, you're in a nursing home in this situation, right? So what happens if you stop doing CPR? You go into the room, you just decide to go ahead and pronounce the patient. What happens? Well, maybe the nursing home staff is going to call your agency and complain that you guys just walked into the room, did nothing, and pronounce the patient after they've been sitting there doing CPR and going crazy, thinking they're going to try to bring this patient back. You walk in and just pronounce the patient. You might have a nursing home staff member who's aware of what the protocols are and what the guidelines are as far as witness arrest and pronouncement guidelines. Maybe you're even going to, you know, have a staff member who might notice that you were the one that were willing to work up the patient, but your partner wasn't. And then there was a conflict there, and they're going to bring that up because it's something like that could be pretty obvious to a staff member or even a bystander that one crew member was willing to do something and the other one was not. So keep that in mind. You're definitely going to want to probably go ahead and try to go ahead and call for a supervisor to come to the scene. So, you know, this puts you in a bad position. You know, you can be guilty by association if you don't do anything. But, you know, this is a hard call. Again, I hate playing Monday morning quarterback. If at the bare minimum for something like this, you probably want to go ahead and at least make sure that you know, since your partner was the one that decided to pronounce, that they're the one doing the documentation for the call, and make sure that you go ahead and read the documentation and that it does reflect what actually went on the scene. And of course, if it doesn't, and what went on the scene one way or the other, I think you should still follow up with the supervisor, make them aware of the situation, make them aware of how you were uncomfortable and what they feel you should or should not have done in that, you know, in that same situation, you know, in the future, if you wind up running across that with the same partner or maybe even another partner. You know, but this kind of brings me to the next short topic here I want to talk about, and that's something else I read in one of the forums, is talking about generational gaps. You know, you hear this a lot in EMS, you know, generational gap and burnout and all this type of stuff. And, you know, to me, new providers that come out into the field, they bring a lot of fresh knowledge into EMS. Now they're exposed to a lot of new treatment stuff, a lot of new technology stuff they've picked up doing their rotations with doctors and in the hospital. Stuff they're reading in the books. The updated books that they're getting in the paramedic class, and they're bringing a lot of new knowledge and fresh perspective on EMS. And a lot of them are very motivated. They want to do what's right for the patient, what's right for the industry. And they can really kind of ramp up some older providers to really take a fresh look at themselves and how they're doing in EMS. And old providers too, we bring that experience to the new providers. We bring that viewpoint of experience as far as operations, maybe field type operations and etiquette that goes on, the true etiquette that goes on in EMS between other EMS providers, fire departments, police, nurses, doctors. All that type of stuff is stuff that you don't get to learn in class. And a lot of times the older providers, to me that's the biggest thing that you can bring to a newer provider. You're not going to teach them how to do an IV. I mean, they've already done that. They know how to do that. They should know how to intubate. They should know their protocols. You're bringing them more of an operational viewpoint, I think, and a clinical viewpoint when coming to different types of patients. And, old providers that are keeping up with treatment modalities, keeping up with new protocol changes, keeping up with new skills, keeping up with new technologies. These are the providers that make the EMS industry kind of keep going and keep the new providers on track with what they're learning. And if you're an older provider, and when I say old, I mean experience, not necessarily age, but years that you've been doing it. To me, there's not really a generational gap if you have providers that are coming in that are absorbing the new procedures and treatment and skills and whatnot, and the experienced providers that are doing the same thing. There's not really a generational gap. It's more of maybe a motivational factor and maybe a nuance of how to operate in the field. So there's not really a generational gap as far as old versus new. To me, it's more of a interested versus disinterested. You get new providers and old providers who come into EMS and who are in EMS who don't really want to do the job. They're just there for a paycheck. Like the person in that story we talked about, they're looking to get off on time. They're not there for the patient. They're not there for the treatment. They're not there for the industry and not a good representation of the EMS industry. So to me, whether you're old, an experienced provider or a new provider, if that's your attitude, then you don't need to be in this industry. You're just bringing everybody else down and you're bringing a bad name to the industry. Now, if you're the older provider and newer provider who is, excited about new treatment, excited about new technology, interested in learning more, doing a lot of research on patients that you've encountered, this is the type of provider that we want, and this is the type of EMS worker we want out there in the field. So when you talk about old versus new, to me, each brings a key benefit to the EMS industry, and at the same time, they can bring a negative aspect to the industry if they're not motivated. They're just using it as a stepping stone. They're just looking for the paycheck, can't wait to go home, watching the clock the whole time, want to get off on time. Those type of providers really need to, take a back seat to the people that want to be in this industry, that are looking to move the industry forward, and that really want to make a change in EMS. And those are providers that continue their education, whether it's self-learning by doing a lot of research online, listening to podcasts and reading blogs and research papers and all that. Those are the ones that are going to want to bring the industry forward. Doesn't matter if you're brand new or if you've been doing it for 20 years. If you still have an interest, you care about the patients, the treatment, the technology and the skills that's keeping your skills up to date, then you're the type of provider that we need out there. Okay. So again, to me, it's not a generational gap, old versus new. To me, it's more of being interested versus disinterested. I want to know What you think about this? We're just about out of the time today. I'm not really going to go on too much more today, but what I do want to know is, what do you think? What do you think as far as interested versus disinterested? Do you think that's the case, or do you think it's more of a generational gap of people, just kind of blowing off the new person or the experienced person, thinking it's my way, the highway, and there's no room for any type of change in their eyes and what they're doing and what they're how they're performing out in the field? Post your comments below on that. And also, why don't you post as well, put down what you're thankful for this year for Thanksgiving. What are you thankful for during this Thanksgiving holiday? I want to thank you for taking the time and joining me for this audio podcast. I think this pre-recorded format is going to be we're going to work a little bit better. It's going to be a little bit shorter, a little more concise, and I think we're going to be able to get a lot more out of it. We're going to have the additional content with a live session probably once a month, so I think you can really take advantage of all this content. Don't forget to check out all the other EMS blogs and EMS podcasts that are out there. They're all well worth a look. They all have different points of view, some of them more technical than others, but all worth a read and worth a listen. The other thing I want to mention too, again, EMS office hours, I am dedicated to you, the EMS professional. I want to talk about what you're thinking, what you're discussing with your partner in the front of the ambulance, what you're talking about in your garage. So post in the comments below what you want to talk about and what you want to hear discussed in an EMS office hours podcast. I'll be sure to go ahead and arrange to do a podcast on the topic that you bring up. If you don't want to go ahead and post it in the comments, that's fine too. Send me an email directly, and we can do it in private as well if you don't want to post it publicly. My email address is jhoffman@ems-safety.com. Again, let me know your industry concerns, any testing questions you have, or even talk about a recent call that you did that you thought was interesting, even something like I talked about earlier in this podcast. Again, I'll be sure to try to fit it in an upcoming episode and share your thoughts with the EMS community. So, thanks again for joining me. This is Jim Hoffman from EMS Office Hours, and as always, stay safe and happy Thanksgiving.